Substitutes for Sanctification by Robert C. Newman, with cartoons by my brother James I. Newman. A humorous, perhaps ironic, cynical discussion of faith spirituality, so that we may recognize it in ourselves and others, and at least for ourselves, take appropriate action. Warning, this talk is ironic, even cynical, but it has some good purposes. To help people tell the difference between real holiness and cheap substitutes. To keep us from thinking we're okay when the last judgment will reveal that we aren't. To help us make course corrections while we still can. We'll call this first section, How to Make Yourself Holy Without the Holy Spirit. In general, rather than actually becoming more conformed to the image of Christ, or doing a better job of keeping God's laws, put all the harder laws in another dispensation. For example, before the church age, or during the millennium. In general, realize that this is the age of grace, not of law, so you don't need to keep all those laws. And it's legalism to try. You can also help this by defining away certain sins, treating them as merely mistakes, or imperfections, or something of that sort. In general, you need to concentrate on certain externals, or on how certain certain specific areas of behavior. For instance, notice how bad everyone else is. This will, of course, vary from group to group, depending on what group you identify with. But these outsiders, they drink, or smoke, or they don't keep the Sabbath, or they consort with sinners, or they dress the wrong way. No doubt you can supply additional items here. Substitutes for the fruit of spirit. You remember that passage in Galatians 5:22 where Paul says, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But let's look at each of these one by one. Love. Instead, just have a pleasant outward appearance and smile a lot, so long as no one crosses you. Condescend to those you consider beneath you. That's loving, isn't it? Flatter those you think may be superior to you. So, love. Joy. The suggestions for love above will probably do the trick here. You do need to be careful to try and stick to pleasant surroundings, pleasant people, comfortable circumstances. It's too tough to be joyful in difficult situations. So, love, joy. How about peace? Both the suggestions under love and joy should prove helpful here. You should try to avoid controversy if that doesn't make for peace. Or if that doesn't work, try to ignore the controversy. Don't think of people in the category saved and unsaved. That might disrupt your peace of thinking about unsaved people. Or if you do, at least stay away from the unsaved people. Don't think about the troubles other Christians are facing either. How about patience? Well, this is hard fake, so stay away from circumstances where this is needed. However, you aren't required to be patient when dealing with nasty people. You aren't required to be patient where matters of principle are involved. And make sure that the offender knows that you are really long-suffering. Well, next, kindness. Like love, you may use the practice of kindness as an excuse for not rebuking sin, at least in certain areas. Remember, judge not, unless someone really deserves it. Goodness. This means being more holy according to the general principles sketched in those panels above, labeled in general. We shouldn't tell others how good we are, but we can show them how good we are by being an obvious example, by pointing out the faults of others, by giving free advice. The next item is sometimes translated faith and sometimes faithfulness, so we'll hit both. When it's sometimes translated faith, how do we do that? Well, that's what others should have in what we say. Huh? Faith can also be a device to avoid planning. You know, I did it by faith. It can be used to avoid obedience. The Spirit led me to do this. On the other hand, if it's translated faithfulness, loyalty to leadership, whatever they're doing in my group. My group, right or wrong. Of course, this kind of faithfulness is not needed if they disagree with you. That brings us to gentleness. We'll need a couple of panels for that. Traditionally, this is translated meekness in the King James Version. And meekness is not to be applied to your understanding of Scripture, since you're illuminated by the Holy Spirit and thus spiritual. But you show meekness by taking a back seat to obvious superiors, unless they are trying to muscle in. You can show meekness by giving in to the other, if the other person is too strong for you. Gentleness allows bragging about certain things, about growing up in poverty, or about your earlier life of sin, or about your lack of education, or about how you can interpret Scripture without human aid. Gentleness allows bragging about your parents who were Christians, or missionaries, or pastors. That brings us finally to self-control. This has traditionally been translated temperance, and total abstinence from alcohol is a good substitute in some circles. Drinking in moderation, however, will do in other circles. Self-control also includes not speaking the truth if your audience will consider the truth intemperant. Self-control is demonstrated by putting up with those who are moderately aggravating. It is not necessary if they are really aggravating. And self-control does not apply to eating habits. Well, that's our tour. A summary. Moving out of the ironic, cynical mode, I found in putting this talk together that a good deal of this was rather convicting, as I find myself practicing such techniques all too often. Perhaps you will find that as well. So my prayer is, may God help us to recognize fake spirituality in ourselves and in others. May the Lord change us so that we may indeed grow in true holiness. As this last cartoon shows, we need to know ourselves. And that, my friend, is the end of this brief talk. I hope that you will have found it helpful and that the Lord will give you strength to become really holy and not just fake holy.